Good afternoon. Happy Earth Day, and welcome to today's live Facebook chat with White House Council on Environmental Quality Chair Nancy Sutley and Deputy Assistant to the President for Energy and Climate Change, Heather Zeichel. Today, we'll be taking your questions live. You can submit your questions by visiting whitehouse.gov/live. I'll now turn it over to Chair Sutley.
Well, thank you, and it's great to be here with all of you on the south lawn of the White House. You can see the preparations for the Easter egg roll are well underway, and we're very glad to be here and glad to be joined by my colleague and my friend Heather Zeichel. We're here today because it's Earth Day, and you know, we all share this small blue planet, and on Earth Day, you know, we need to challenge ourselves to make a positive difference through community service and responsible stewardship of our environment. Protecting our planet is an ongoing effort that calls on every American to take action on behalf of the communities and the places that matter most to all of us. You know, millions of Americans over the years have heeded that call. As a country, we've made tremendous progress through the protections in our Clean Air Act and our Clean Water Act, and more recently in the actions that have been highlighted in the President's America's Great Outdoors Initiative. These initiatives and these programs ensure the protection and preservation of our most precious resources, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, and the outdoor places that we enjoy. Our efforts don't stop there, and they can't stop there. When it comes to the environment, we have to think about the future and the legacy that we leave for the next generation and the generations after that. You know, the truth is, the effects we see and feel every day from the impacts of climate change and the overuse of our natural resources, our world is changing. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, will we lead this new world by transitioning to a clean energy economy, or will we leave the world behind? We can't be left behind. We have to seize and invest in innovation and opportunities today and ensure that our world offers a more healthy, sustainable, and better future for generations to come. That's why the Obama administration has made historic investments in clean energy that will create the jobs of tomorrow and a secure foundation for long-term economic growth. Earth Day has become more than just a date on the calendar. Communities across our country are coming together. So I hope you'll continue to make every single day Earth Day. And so I look forward to answering your questions.
Heather?
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to join you today. On this Earth Day 2011, there are many issues on our environmental agenda that were front and center. One of those happens to be our energy policy. The President today spoke specifically about our nation's energy policy, and certainly gas prices are on everybody's mind today, the pain that consumers are feeling at the pump. What the President said today is that while there's no short-term and immediate fix, what we can do is make sure that we don't end up in this problem again. To that end, he's outlined an aggressive plan to transition to a clean energy economy. It involves three key components. One, reducing our dependence on oil. Two, investing in a clean energy future, including alternatives to oil, natural gas, and biofuels. And three, doubling down on our efficiency across the board. Things that we do to increase the efficiency of our fleet, but also our homes and commercial businesses. The last thing I wanted to highlight today is just the, in line with the administration's ongoing commitment to ensure consumer protection, Attorney General Holder today announced formation of an oil and gas price fraud working group. This working group will be looking for potential violations of criminal or civil laws to safeguard against unlawful consumer harm. This is an important step that the administration announced today. And with that, I think we're ready for your questions.
Great. I'll turn to our first question, which comes from Tammy Cochran. And she asks, why can't the government go green and save tons of money?
Well, that's a great question. And the government is working hard to make itself greener so that we can save money, save taxpayers' money, and protect the planet at the same time. President Obama asked, and challenged all of the federal government to really set very aggressive goals for reducing energy use, increasing the use of renewable energy, to make our buildings greener, to reduce water use, and to reduce waste. And so I'm happy to report that the federal government is making great progress on working towards these goals of reducing our energy use and increasing our use of renewable energy. And just yesterday or 2 days ago, we released scorecards that grade the progress that agencies are making in greening the federal government. And you can see those scorecards at whitehouse.gov/CEQ.
Heather?
I think, you know, Nancy said it best, that the administration believes investing in efficiency and green and clean energy solutions saves money across the board, and that's why we've spent so much time and effort in that space.
Great. Our next question comes from Denise Martin, who's asking, why can't we put a greenhouse or a garden on the lawn of the White House where we are sitting to make it a symbol of green?
Well, the First Lady has brought back the garden on the White House lawn, so and it produces food that the White House uses, and it's all part of an effort to show Americans and remind Americans how we can make healthy food and our communities healthier and greener by using things like community gardens. So all across America, you see more and more farmers markets, and more access for people to healthy food and food that's grown locally, which also has the benefit of reducing the environmental footprint of producing that food. So we have a lovely green lawn here today and a lovely garden just close by.
Our next question comes from Kimberly Autry, who asks that we please talk about how we are going to invest in more electric recharging stations and will offer incentives to those who wish to buy electric cars.
Well, thanks for your question. The president set a bold but achievable goal of having 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2015. In order to achieve that goal, there are a handful of things we need to do. The administration from the beginning has been investing in charging stations throughout the country. And that funding came through the Recovery Act, and we built on those investments through the president's budget proposal for FY12. The second important thing that we're doing is trying to help bring the cost for consumers of those new advanced technology vehicles down by supporting tax credits for consumers.
Great. Our next question comes from Vicki Washington, who says she would like to get into the business of going green. How can she get started?
Well, I think there are lots of resources for people who want to go into business and go green. And one great way is through the Small Business Administration that has resources available for people who are getting into small businesses and who want to go green. Also, lots of local communities have resources available. But I think, and then the last thing I'd say is the federal government is trying to go green as well in how it buys goods and services. And so the General Services Administration and the Small Business Administration are working together to help the federal government's own suppliers become greener and find more business opportunities in green businesses. But I'd have to say also that it's really a terrific time and a terrific opportunity at this time in our country to be going green. There are huge opportunities as the clean energy economy grows, and really great opportunities to invest in our communities and to grow jobs here at home.
And just to build on that, I think there are a number of programs in the federal government through even the Department of Energy and USDA, where there are grant and loan programs that are helping small businesses across the country invest in the clean energy technologies of the future and helping break dependence on oil while we're bringing prices down for consumers.
Wonderful. I want to remind folks to ask your questions live, please go to whitehouse.gov/live and submit your questions at the Facebook page. Let's take our next question. This one comes from Katie Rojas John, who asks, do you think we can make our communities healthier and greener by curbing the use of toxic chemicals?
Well, there are now more and more products available for communities, for people to use in their homes that are less toxic, that reduce the exposure to toxic chemicals in your home or in your school, in your community. There are practices, for example, for what's called integrated pest management which are available around the country to help deal with pest problems and taking care of your lawn and in a greener and more environmentally friendly way. There's a lot of resources that are available from the Environmental Protection Agency at epa.gov and from your state and local environmental agencies. But there's there are lots of alternatives available and also practices that you can take, simple practices that you can take in your own home to reduce the amount of toxic chemicals you use. Other things you can do to reduce your energy use at home, you reduce your water use at home, and it's a great way for people to contribute to their own families and their own communities.
Great. The next question goes back to energy, and sitting in the sunshine talks about solar energy. The question's from Ron Zamora, and he asks, when will we make solar energy affordable to the average customer?
The administration has made significant investments in solar energy. Specifically, at the Department of Energy, we have a number of research and development programs that are every day working to improve the solar technology, bringing the costs down and improving the technology. The second piece of that is through manufacturing incentives. The president's budget included a program known as 48C, which doesn't have the most exciting name in the world, but it's a very important program that allows us to develop the capacity domestically to manufacture solar panels around the country, bringing this technology to homes and businesses across the country and helping bring down the cost for consumers, as well as bringing down the emissions and saving, improving the carbon footprint of our homes and businesses.
Nancy?
In addition to the programs that are available, there's also in many states, there are rebate programs and programs to help make solar more available, easily available to homeowners. And last October, we announced that we would be putting solar panels back on the most famous house in America, the one that's right behind us, the White House. So we're working hard to get that done. And that will help to show, I think, the ordinary house homeowner that solar energy has applications everywhere, including their own homes.
Great. Let's turn to a question about our oceans. Ted Bola asks, what are you doing to confront our plastic-polluted ocean problem?
Well, we know our oceans are very much under stress, and we know how much our country and our planet depends on our oceans for not only for fish and for recreation, but for security and navigation, commerce, and the important environmental functions that our oceans provide. And so we take the challenges that are confronting our ocean, being pollution and climate change, overfishing, very, very seriously. And the president last year asked us to do a couple of things. One was to develop a national ocean policy that states the goals of the U.S. in preserving and protecting our ocean and marine resources. And it boils down to that healthy oceans matter. And then also for us to work together, all the agencies across the federal government who have some piece of their programs that affect the oceans, to work together on a number of priority issues, including pollution that comes off of the land into the water. That's the source of a lot of the plastic pollution. That's a big problem. So we're working very hard on that, and also to try to understand sort of what the uses of the ocean are and how we can make sure that there are not conflicts, that we are not having, for example, energy development in sensitive fisheries, and to make sure that our navigation and our security needs are being met. But the oceans are very important for many communities around our country. They're very important for our economy, and they're very important for our relations with other countries. So we're working hard to make sure our oceans are protected and healthy.
Thanks, Nancy. The next question comes from Heather Lewis, and she's asking, She's been looking forward to the day when she can buy a hydrogen car that runs on a fuel cell and not the power grid. Earlier this week, she heard the administration may not be supporting hydrogen and favoring plug-in cars. Can you please discuss the reasons, if this is true, and how is increasing energy usage better for our dependence on fossil fuels as opposed to hydrogen cells?
Thank you for your question. The administration is investing across the board in a number of different technologies to help bring lower cost solutions to consumers, to help alleviate the pain at the pump, but also to invest in a wide array of technologies. And specifically for our cars and trucks, one of the most important things that we know the administration can do is to increase the efficiency overall. That's why one of the first initiatives of the president after coming into office was to direct the Department of Transportation and the EPA to come up with a new proposed standard for model year 2012 to 2016 cars and trucks to increase the efficiency. And a more efficient car means every time you're going to the gas pump, you're pumping less gas and you have a lower bill. So it's a good thing all around. And the president's proposal and the new car standards, we call it the National Car Program, over the life of the program will save 1.8 billion barrels of oil. And that's about an average of $3,000 for a consumer. So, we are out there every day working on solutions to tackle gas prices. And whether it's a natural gas vehicle, a more efficient a plug-in vehicle, or a hydrogen car, across the board, we know we need to invest in a wide array of technology so we're not just dependent on oil.
Thank you, Heather. Our next question comes from Jenkins Williams, and he's asking, what is the federal government doing about traffic-related air pollution?
Well, it's a great question, and I think one that dovetails very well with the program that I just talked about. The program to increase the efficiency of the cars when a car and truck is more efficient, that means you've got less pollution. So the most important thing we can do, we are doing, that's improving the efficiency. And the other exciting thing is that it doesn't end with just our cars and light duty trucks. The administration is working and will this summer announce a final rule for medium and heavy duty trucks. So a new efficiency standard, and it's the first time that any administration has ever done that.
Well, in addition to the fuel efficiency standards and the car standards, truck standards, the administration is also investing in how we move around in general. So things like investing in mass transit that will help give consumers choices, more choices of how they get around, but also help to reduce air pollution and also investing in more sustainable communities. We think about how so many communities are dependent on cars to get around. If we, as communities, can develop more sustainably, there'll be fewer cars driving around and less pollution and more opportunities for biking and walking. And so the administration is making big investments in sustainable communities as well.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Frank Tellez, who's asking questions about bicycles and saying, how about a rebate program for adult bikes?
Well, I think we'll have to take up your recommendation with Secretary LaHood. But I think, what is important is the point here is that we need to be using any and all modes of transportation, and certainly bikes are a great opportunity. I wish I was riding my bike today, but we will definitely take your recommendation to Secretary LaHood, and certainly the Department of Transportation is doing a lot as they think about new policies to promote livable communities in the planning process.
We see lots of communities around the country finding new ways to encourage people to use other forms of transportation, including biking. Right here in Washington, there's a great bike share program, and there are communities across the country that have those kinds of bike share programs and that make it really easy to get around a city by bicycle.
Great. Vinny Amendolari asks, what are everyday things that everyday Americans can do to make the largest impact on our environment?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Americans can do is also what's really good for them, which is to save energy. Our energy use has a huge impact on our environment, has a huge impact on our pocketbooks, and it has a huge impact on our national security, our need to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. And so there are simple things that everyone can do. In addition to the programs that the federal government and others are doing to invest in research and development and to deploy new technologies that will help save energy, but things like a program we called Recovery Through Retrofit, looking at what will help consumers make simple changes to their houses to make them more energy efficient by providing them more information about how their homes use energy, simple tools to help to finance energy efficiency retrofits and training for workers. And then there are just the simple things we can all do by walking or biking more, using more energy efficient Energy Star products in our homes, whether it's big things like refrigerators or just even the light bulbs that we use. So there's lots of things people can do, but the best thing they can do is to save energy.
Great. Our next question comes from Nancy Ambers Massar, who's asking, can policy be strengthened to favor American business that is in competition with foreign corporations that do not operate according to current regulations?
Well, what gets at the root of the question is America's ability to compete. And just I think a little over a week ago, a Pew issued a report that showed that America is behind China and India in terms of its investment in clean energy. And looking at the budget, and the president spoke to this today, the budget proposal from the Republicans cuts those energy investments by 70%. That means we're going to have fewer jobs, and we're going to, we're jeopardizing our ability to reclaim America as the clean energy leader of the world. So our budget is very focused on making sure that America remains competitive and that we are creating the jobs of the clean energy future here in America.
Our next question is from Bobby D. He says, several states, including New York, have started implementing no landfill policies regarding electronic waste or e-waste. Are you in favor of a U.S. government e-waste and no landfill policy for federal government electronic waste? If so, how and when would it be implemented?
So that's a great question. And the federal government is a very large consumer of a whole bunch of things, and we have lots of electronic equipment, whether computers and other appliances, and we know this is a big problem for communities across the country about how much of this waste is going into our landfills. So a few months ago, we asked the General Services Administration, which is the buyer of many things for the federal government and the EPA, to develop recommendations about how the federal government can reduce its contribution to e-waste. So that ought to be coming out very soon. But the other thing I wanted to say is that the president has challenged the federal government to be a leader in sustainability, to lead by example. And so one of the important pieces of leading by example is reducing the waste that the federal government produces, because if we don't produce the waste, it doesn't have to go to a landfill, and that's a lot. It's a lot easier on our environment and on our communities. And I think the federal government is doing pretty well, but there's also more we can do. And coming up with a strategy that will help us manage our own electronic waste, as well as providing opportunities for public-private partnerships to reduce electronic waste, is something that's going to be very important for us going forward.
Great. And it looks like we've got time for a couple more questions here. So I'm going to take one from Patricia Milani, who asks, how does the Obama administration propose to protect people with asthma and other respiratory diseases from air pollution?
So obviously a lot of what's going to help address the health impacts is through investing in clean energy. But another important tool in ensuring our ability to do that is to protect the Clean Air Act. This is a tool that for decades has protected public health and the environment. And just in last year alone saved 160,000 lives. The administration is committed to, despite some attempts to roll back those protections, is committed to a strong Clean Air Act. And that's a tool that also allows us the opportunity to put new rules in place to reduce harmful pollution like mercury and other air toxics.
We've seen the benefits that the Clean Air Act has brought to our cities. My hometown of Los Angeles, California, used to have almost over 300 days a year where the air was so polluted it didn't meet health standards. And now it's really a handful of days, but certainly there's more that we can do. And the Clean Air Act, as Heather said, has been a tremendous tool with great benefits for Americans. The EPA just released a peer review report that said, over the period from starting 1990 and projected out to 2020, that the benefits in terms of improved health, improved productivity, and the health of our communities, the benefits of the Clean Air Act outweigh the cost by 30 times. And that's a pretty good investment for our country and for the health of our communities.
Great. And I think we've got time for one last question. This question comes from Pauline Billinger, and she's asking, I've been hearing about using methane gas from trash for fuel and electricity. Why aren't all of the landfills in the U.S. adopting this technology? Trash is plentiful, and it would create more green jobs.
Well, I think the EPA has a specific program called the Methane to Markets program that is helping create energy through methane at landfills, and obviously that's incredibly important. And what the administration is focused on is improving our ability to generate clean electricity across the board. That's why during the State of the Union, the president proposed a clean energy standard of 80% by 2035. And the cool thing about a clean energy standard is that it allows you to take a number of energy sources. We're not picking winners or losers. We're taking all those clean energy sources, whether that's clean coal or wind, and helping us achieve that goal while we're reducing greenhouse gas emissions and creating jobs.
Well, and I think as part of a clean energy standard, things like generating electricity from landfill gas, there's tremendous possibilities for benefits for our communities. These landfills are located around the country, and it gives the cities and the communities an opportunity to basically turn trash to cash by using the gas that's generated out of those landfills to generate electricity and sell electricity or use the electricity themselves and save money. So we see communities across the country taking advantage of those opportunities and landfills and other sources of methane gas in their communities.
Great. Before wrapping up, let's answer one more question, asking if it's possible to install solar panels on public schools in the United States.
Well, it's certainly possible and something that the administration is looking to provide new incentives to do. The great thing about installing solar panels is not only do you have all the jobs you create while you're actually constructing the solar panel and installing it, but for many schools that are dealing with budget constraints, the investment of solar power allows schools across the country to cut energy rates because you're generating your electricity from the sun. So it's a great investment across the board and something that we're committed to doing.
Great. I want to thank everyone for joining us today with this live Facebook chat in honor of Earth Day with Heather Zeichel, Deputy Assistant to the President for Energy and Climate Change, and White House Counsel Chair on Environmental Quality, Nancy Sutley.